Innovation, disruption, and big issues. This is Business Game Changers with Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. There has been a lot of questions on this Las Vegas massacre. What's going on? A lot of confusion, a lot of false information. I guess that's starting to be par for the course over the last probably 50 years now. We have a problem of accurate information, accurate news in this country, which we all know. And in the alternative media, with this Las Vegas massacre, there has been many questions about what's really going on. A lot of information is coming out. And so I wanted to bring on Robert David Steele to give me his take on what's really going on with the Las Vegas massacre and the whole deal. He gets so much information behind the scenes, and so he's going to tell us what he's learning about what's really going on there. And you know, I don't know what's going on there. I am just going presenting you a different view of from the mass media on what's really going on. And you know, it's important for us to look at different angles on this and to figure out what the truth really is. So let's get into that interview now with Robert David Steele. Hi, Robert. Welcome back to the program.
Oh, I'm glad to be with you, Sarah.
Well, I think it's really timely to have you back because you have a lot of experience with false flags, you being in the CIA, and you are seeing a pattern emerge with this particular situation with Las Vegas, and I wanted to get your take on it because I know the alternative media is all over this, and so I wanted to know what you thought about it. And can you tell me what your views are on the Las Vegas situation? Is it a false flag? What are you seeing?
Well, first off, the Department of Homeland Security and the Federal Emergency Management Agency have been perfecting a drill psychological operation, massive set of orchestrated lies in which people don't actually die, but they try to tell the public that they have. From Sandy Hook through the Boston bombing to Orlando and other places like this, they've basically had these wonderfully orchestrated drills. But these drills have also been used to have a Hollywood effect on the public, to inspire fear and to justify building the budget for Homeland Security. Now, 9/11 was, go ahead.
So it's kind of like the movie Wag the Dog, where they showed how.
Very excellent, excellent, excellent. Absolutely Wag the Dog, yes. And what I've been perfecting, and by the way, not everyone at CIA does false flags, and I've only done one, no one died. The term false flag originated in maritime warfare, where not only pirates but enemies, like the French would fly the Spanish flag in order to get close to a Spanish ship and then attack it. That's where the term false flag comes from. I've coined the term hybrid false flag because there are false flag attacks that start out as drills and are then hijacked, and the patsy becomes a killer. Or the patsy is killed and someone else kills people that were expecting to not die. Well, crisis actors.
Well, it's like the Boston Marathon. They were running a bomb drill that same day. And there were bomb people with those black backpacks and everything were walking around that same day.
And there's no evidence that anyone died. One of the things that is troubling to me is that we have a system here that essentially is putting out a narrative and nobody's questioning the narrative. Now, in the case of Las Vegas, there is no question but that this was a perfectly legitimate, unclassified FEMA drill with paid crisis actors all over the city, including within the crowd in front of the music stand. That's established. It's also now established that people died and bodies were mangled. And Jeff Rentz's show tomorrow night, Monday night, is going to have an actual survivor who is going to talk in very angry terms about what they think happened. We now know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there were multiple shooters and at least one M60 machine gun. We now know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there were probably, no, I should say, we speculate, we believe that the real shooters that did most of the damage were up behind the spotlights on the stage. and the lights were actually turned on in order to allow those shooters to be more effective in their shooting. Okay? The question then becomes, who hijacked this drill in order to do a massacre? Was it the Zionists? Was it the Russian mafia? Was it rogue elements of the CIA and FBI, who in fact work for the one world government, the Rothschilds, the Vatican, the City of London, the Wall Street, so forth? Was it the Freemasons, the Knights of Malta? That's what we don't know right now. And unfortunately, I'm being told that the FBI is going around right now and intimidating people who were there, telling them there was one shooter, his name was Paddock. If you say anything else, you're going to jail. This is idiocy.
It
Why
is.
is the FBI in the business of shuttering the truth?
Well, and that's what they
It's
did on
possible.
9/11.
And let me also say yes, and let me also say it's possible it's not the FBI. It's possible it's the Mossad with FBI credentials. It's possible it's the CIA with FBI credentials. It's possible it's Blackwater with FBI credentials. What we don't have right now is a really good, clear picture of both what happened and who's going around covering up and why. So I wrote this article for the American Herald Tribune, and it kind of sums up my understanding right now, and it offers five choices. Five choices, four, five choices. It offers five choices of who done it, and all five of these choices are perfectly integratable. In other words, it could have been all five, just like the John F. Kennedy assassination was everybody. It was CIA, it was the FBI, it was Lyndon Baines Johnson, it was the Israelis, it was the Cuban crime mob, it was Texas Energy, it was New York money. John F. Kennedy managed to piss off everybody. This event, we look at what are the motivations. One of the things that just came out today is we've identified $297 million worth of MGM executive insider trading, selling their stocks in the June through September timeframe. $297 million worth. Now, their stock tanked. It lost $1 billion in value on this day, October. So now, if they were to put that money back in, they could ride it back up. It's the reverse of short selling, and it's less conspicuous, but we found it. And when I say we, I mean the collective intelligence. What I did when I put up the post, tinyurl.com/Las Vegas false flag, was I was essentially setting up a honey trap. I put out my best knowledge to include my statement that there was no evidence that people died. And then I started taking in the emails from these wonderful people saying, Robert, have you looked at this? Robert, have you looked at that? And so I am joyfully harvesting the collective intelligence of our population, which is fed up with lies. This
Yes, they
short
are.
trader stuff, a young lady has spent all day today. I have copies of all of the documentation and a spreadsheet that will be posted tomorrow as update 13, appropriately enough. There's also a new piece out on George Soros, Sheldon Adelson, and Michael Chertoff. And it's, I think, tentatively titled Follow the Money. These are the guys that are going to make a fortune from this. There's also the competition between Sheldon Adelson and MGM over control in Las Vegas. There's just all kinds of nuances here.
Well, what
And what
did Donald Trump mean today when he said, if you think this is a firestorm, wait until you see what's coming? He said something, I'm paraphrasing.
Roger Stone, who I've had a very nice dinner with, tells me that Donald Trump is being drugged. I don't know. But I do know that Michael Chertoff just got the company that had security, the security contract for the Super Bowl. He just got them fired and got his firm put in charge of the Super Bowl. Me personally, I'm not going to the Super Bowl. Not only can I not afford it, but if Michael Chertoff is in charge of it, I'm worried about a bomb under my seat. That's just me
Well,
speculating.
it's the perfect venue for something to happen.
Yes. That's why when Donald Trump says, you ain't seen nothing yet, I think Super Bowl.
Well, that's going to
And
be in my
especially since
backyard.
he's pissed off at the NFL. There's just so much going on here that is, I mean, it's cognitive dissonance on a cosmic scale.
Well,
It's also.
and that's the problem that a lot of people have, is it's hard to see all this stuff out there and then think that your own government would do that. It's really hard.
Well,
It's the red
this is a
pill
good
thing.
chance, Sarah. We really need to talk about yellow journalism and the Pulitzer Prize and false flags and covert operations
Yes.
going back through history. I was a covert operations specialist, a clandestine case officer, a spy. I'm frankly proud of that time. I love the CIA. I'm very glad to have been a spy, but CIA has been cor become corrupt. 80 to 90% of what CIA and NSA and the NRO and all of those guys do is absolutely worthless. And the last 10% is pure evil. I mean, they're assassinating people all over the world with drones and have a 98% kill ratio that is innocence. Okay? This is wrong. I don't want them to be doing that. So we go back in history and let's take Pearl Harbor. Most people don't understand that the United States carried out eight individual covert acts of war against Japan before Pearl Harbor, with the specific intent of forcing them to do Pearl Harbor so we could then enter the war. I mean, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was not a saint. He also allowed the Great Depression to be done by the banks. The Great Depression was not an accident. In fact, I have,
I did a
let
the
me,
Wayne Jett.
I just want to tell your people, this book is huge.
Yeah, I
The
did a
Great
series with
Depression
him.
was not an accident. It was a very deliberate destruction of the middle class by the 1%, because the middle class was growing in political power and demanding honest government. It was insisting that the government not kowtow to the banks. All right? It was also how the 1% bought up most of America at fire sale prices. That's when absentee landlordship really took root. The Great Depression was the destruction of the middle class and a land grab on a scale people had never seen before. So let's start with the fact that both Wall Street and the US government over history have been perfectly fine with acts of enormous treason as routine business. Now, John F. Kennedy, killed by the CIA, which brought in Corsican mobsters, covered up by the FBI. Okay. The USS Liberty. The Zionists were allowed to machine gun, bomb, and torpedo an unarmed US naval vessel that was a listening post in international waters. They also jammed the distress signals. I'm a naval officer. I take this very personally. They also jammed the distress signals. And when the ship was finally rescued, they failed to sink it. Four of their five torpedoes didn't explode. It's kind of like Donald Trump's Raytheon attack on the Syrian airfield, which had a 34% success ratio for its missiles. So the next time Raytheon offers to sell me something, I'll tell them I'm paying 34% of the list price. So bottom line here is the US government covered up the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty, and it told the survivors that if they talked about it, they would not only lose their pensions, they would go to jail. That's what the FBI is doing right now to the survivors of Las Vegas, and I'm upset about this.
Okay, well,
And it might not be the FBI, it might be the Mossad with FBI credentials, but we don't know.
how many people in society do you think is starting to realize that we can't trust our government to give us the real
That's
information?
a good question, Sarah. I would say that it has easily passed the 50% mark, and Las Vegas helped do that. Now, let's come to 9/11. The first people to suspect that 9/11 was a false flag event were the families of 9/11. I get goosebumps as I think about
Yeah,
this.
I just did too. I
There
remember.
were families that had an intuitive understanding that the government media narrative was a lie. And my hat's off to Richard Gage, who has done more than anyone with architects and engineers for 9/11 truth. We now know that 9/11 was planned by the Israelis, the logistics and the passports for the Patsies facilitated by the Saudis, and it was actually controlled by Dick Cheney. 13 countries warned us in advance, months in advance, Abel Danger had everything we needed to know to start unraveling that. The FBI went in and closed down the Abel Danger files. They confiscated them.
Yeah, and the NSA did the new documentary by Oliver Stone. They had that information, and the NSA said that they want it to happen so they can get more money.
That's, I believe that, but I also point out that NSA only processes 1% of what it collects. I mean, I'm friends with William Binney, who's one of the greatest.
He's going to come on my show.
Senior. Well, good. Binney's my counterpart. I'm the honest guy from CIA. Binney's the honest guy from NSA, as far as I'm concerned. And we both love our agencies and want to build them back up, but with integrity. I like to say you can't have intelligence without integrity. CIA and NSA have lost their integrity. So Binney and I were talking about this, and it's a fact. NSA processes less than 1% of what it collects. Now, the problem is that they have everything you've ever touched, Sarah, and they don't care about you right now. But if you ever become a member of Congress, they will let you know that they have everything, and they will start blackmailing you. One of the things I've realized in the last few years is that it's not just the Mossad and Jeffrey Epstein and Wall Street that's blackmailing and bribing our congressmen. It's the CIA, the FBI, and NSA. And this causes me a problem as a person who's sworn an oath to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, domestic as well as foreign.
And
we
just,
have met the enemy.
He is us. And it just goes against all of your ethics and integrity. And if you're spiritual or Christian or Buddhist or whatever you are, you can't operate like that.
Well, what's happened is that's business as usual now. And I think it started after World War II when we created Gladio in Europe. Gladio was the stay behind arms caches, and it was mostly neo-Nazi officers. We then had, there's a wonderful book by my now recently deceased friend, Sterling Seagrave, Gold Warriors. We captured billions, perhaps even $1 trillion worth of gold that the Japanese buried in the Philippines. That became the Black Lily Trust run by the Secretary of the Treasury, which in turn was used to finance the resurrection of fascism by the CIA in Italy, Germany, and Japan. It was used to fund dictators. I mean, Ambassador Mark Palmer, also a personal friend, has written an excellent book on destroying the real axis of evil. There are 42 dictators on this planet, and we're best friends with 40 of them. We are providing U.S. taxpayer-subsidized military assistance to 40 of the 42 dictators, including especially $110 billion worth to Saudi Arabia, which has a royal family that is as perverted as it gets and a society that is completely repressed. And these people co-conspire with the Israelis to have war on Iran and so forth. This is all very, very bad. But the two countries that we don't like, the two dictators we don't like, are North Korea and Cuba. Now, North Korea is, again, something very, very interesting because there's more going on in North Korea than people realize.
Yes.
To include Rothschild influence and the U.S. Department of State approving the transfer of nuclear technology from Belgium to North Korea. There's all kinds of things going on that we're not being told, which is one of the reasons I turned away from the world of secrecy and decided that we had to do much, much more with open sources, because secrecy essentially enables corruption. And that's the problem that we have today.
Exactly.
So ask me whatever you want, whether it's about Las Vegas or false flags. I published a Kindle book for, I think it's 99 cents, maybe it's $2.99. It's called False Flags, Tool of the Deep State. Okay?
Well, I definitely want to talk more about false flags, but staying on your theme, do you believe that we have, I mean, is it psychopaths that are all in power? I mean, because how do we get to a point where the average person does not want this? So is it,
no.
Are we just got psychopaths in power and we don't know how to get rid of them?
I would say between 5 and 10% of our leaders are psychopaths or sociopaths, whatever the difference is. They're crazy. They're not only crazy, they're also into Satanism, pedophilia, and sodomy. I'm a commissioner on the International Tribunal for Natural Justice. I'm one of a number of commissioners, including a chief justice, who is taking testimony from people around the world with an emphasis on the U.S. and the Commonwealth countries. And what we're learning is scary, scary, scary. And that's one of the reasons why a media hit job was put out on me over these Mars slave children. There are people like alleged pedophile David Brock who are very, very concerned about any public understanding of how pedophilia is the glue that keeps the deep state together. It's also its Achilles heel, because just like 50% or more of the public now understands about false flags, I think we're getting to the point where 50 to 60% of the public is going to understand that pedophilia is business as usual in the senior ranks of the Democratic and Republican parties.
And I'm telling you, when it comes to pedophilia, the people will march.
They'll explode.
They will explode. There isn't anything. Yeah. And even
torches. Well, let me tell you what I'm doing to help that. As an informal part of my role as a commissioner, I've been encouraging a West Point graduate, Joaquim Hagopian, a very fine investigative journalist. We've published my foreword in the first 8 chapters of his book on pedophilia and empire. This book is going to blow Washington, New York, Boston, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Miami and Chicago and smaller places like Mike Pence's Indiana wide open. Okay, remember the Franklin scandal in Nebraska? All the way from the governor down to the smallest, youngest boy in Boys Town. Let me say that again. From the governor to the smallest, youngest child in Boys Town, Nebraska was pedophilia central. Well, I am sorry to say this, but I think every state of the union has Nebraska in it, in that pedophilia chain running all the way from the governor all the way down. Now, you asked about how many are psychopaths and so forth. I refer your viewers to Kay Griggs, the wife of Colonel Griggs in the Marine Corps. She has, and I'm very pleased that they're still up, so Google's doing something right. She has talked about the sadomasochistic Nazi disease that has infected some of the senior ranks in our military, particularly in the Army and the Marine Corps, to a lesser extent in the Air Force and the Navy. You also have secret societies throughout these military services, and some not-so-secret societies. The Knights of Malta and Opus Dei, for example, are especially strong in the U.S. Navy. If you're Catholic in the Navy and you're on this route, you're going to be a fast mover. If you also end up being okay with sodomy and sadomasochism, you end up being a mover. And what ends up happening is the best and the brightest don't make flag because they're not willing to go along. Okay, and so you end up culling out the best of the brightest. Paul Yingling is a guy I particularly remember. I think he was a Navy captain, Navy 06, although he might have been in another service. But what I've seen is that the absolute best and the brightest leave at the 06 level. They're not ready to play the games or do the evil.
They won't do it.
Is the price of admission to the highest ranks. And I can't say that everybody's like that. My best guess is 20%. So yes, 80% of our generals are okay. But I'll tell you something. If I were president tomorrow, I would probably fire all flag officers, period.
Well, if 80% are okay, are those 80% that are okay, are they aware of the 20% that aren't?
That's a great question. I think the answer is absolutely yes, without question. And they're remaining silent because they're going along. As Larry Summers told Elizabeth Warren, who is very much an insider, said, Elizabeth, insiders don't criticize insiders. And that's why I am an outsider.
Wow, that's a pretty powerful statement. You know, one thing that I have been covering is the child welfare system.
Yes, and it's become a pedophilia central thing.
It absolutely has been. And the children that are in the system, over 50% of them, from what the workers and the people, you know, the director or the producer of Foster Shock, which is a movie about the system.
Oh, she was saying,
she was saying that over 50% of the children in, that's her belief, are molested. You know, they're sexually abused.
It's much more, it's worse than molested. We've got a million kids in the United States vanishing because, I mean, part of, I had a 2-hour show on Alex Jones talking about pedophilia. The minute that show was over, this media hit job came out on me. Okay.
So they didn't air it?
What's that?
So they weren't
Well,
able to air it?
the Daily Beast, a guy named Ben Collins immediately published a story about me saying sex children on Mars. I never said that. There's two different things. We have a colony on Mars with 10,000 people. We've had advanced space technologies for a long time. That's one thing. Then there's pedophilia, and there's the harvesting of child's organs and the drinking of children's blood and the harvesting of child's bone marrow and all of that stuff. That's where a lot of the missing children go. They're not just sodomized and they're actually terrorized, because then you get the adrenalized blood, which is proven in history to have a special aspect, which is why the blood sacrifice aspect of Las Vegas is very significant. There was a lot of terrorized blood there to be harvested by special teams that come in. I cannot exaggerate the grotesque evil that is here within us. Anyway, so this media hit job comes out. It's immediately picked up by the Washington Post, which has never interviewed me on any serious subject. Okay. And the good news is 25 million people now know that I exist who didn't. And they're smart enough to know that this was a media hit job, that I didn't actually say that. And they've gone to my website and seen that I've recently been recommended for the Nobel Peace Prize. Okay. So up yours, Media Matters. This is, people are smart. You've asked a very smart question, Sarah. I think over 50% now, and I believe that if there's a Super Bowl event, it will go to 80%. Okay? I think we're getting very close to a tipping point. And frankly, hashtag unrig, which is an attempt to inspire election reform and truth and reconciliation, in my judgment, is the one legitimate initiative in this country that is standing between the Rothschilds and the people holding pitchforks. We're
So,
getting there.
yeah, you're actually trying to create peace, but at what point is the tipping point? I mean, what do you foresee going to happen? I mean, and what
When it
we
becomes
have.
obvious that Donald Trump is being controlled and is a prisoner in the White House, and that there's been a coup d'etat, when that becomes obvious, I think you will see tires burning in the streets and much more. I hope it doesn't come to that. I share Roger Stone's concern. And I've also been told that Obama's gift to Trump was after the election and before the inauguration. Electromagnetic weapons were put into the White House. And there are ways of really messing up your head and your hormones and all of this stuff with frequency radiation. This is one of the things I've really realized in the past couple of years, is that the neo-Nazi disease did not just infect CIA, it infected NASA. Okay? If you read Kathy O'Brien's book, Transformation of America, which I've reviewed, there's some really evil stuff coming out of NASA. And I believe that Donald Trump is being subjected to some combination of blackmail, bribery, and mind control. And people who are talking to him are saying he's not the Donald Trump that was on the campaign trail. Our president may be a prisoner in the White House. I'm worried about
The
this.
people who knew him directly are saying that. The people who are
Yes.
very intimately involved are saying that. Now, what do you think's going on with Alex Jones? Because they took a 180 too. I mean, they're not the same.
Alex got spanked. He lost $3.5 million overnight when Eric Schmidt and hashtag Google Gestapo declared him a fake news website ineligible for revenue, just like you've been shadow banned, demonetized. Hopefully that's starting to get up there. But Julian Assange, one of my heroes, Julian Assange just put out a tweet saying we need something to replace Twitter and Facebook. And he's absolutely right. And John McAfee, another one of my heroes, who I've met three times now, we're discussing things. And there's a Norwegian CEO and an Indian IT team. We're talking about the post-Google internet. So basically, Alex got spanked. And it was made clear to him that if he diverged from the party line, or if he went too far out of his lane, to include inviting me back on the show to talk about pedophiles, then he was going to lose all his income. So Alex Jones now is a controlled asset from where I sit, which is a shame because I really, let me say this really clearly. I think Alex Jones is a giant. Alex Jones single-handedly brought alternative media into the 21st century. And God bless Alex Jones. I hope he finds his independence again.
I think he was too. I think he made a huge difference, and that's why they needed to control him. Now, his top editor, what is his name?
Doesn't matter.
He's an English guy. He won't question it, the Las Vegas stuff either. They used to question every single one of those things, and now they're just saying, just believe it, just go with it. Don't question it.
Yeah, well, their primary business is selling hormonal supplements. And, you know, all these testosterone things and stuff that'll grow your hair back. And obviously, I'm not a user. So that's Alex's primary business. So he's created an alternative media news hole through which he can sell all this survivalist stuff and all that. And God bless him. He's a brilliant entrepreneur. And I respect him. I like him. I'd be glad to come back on his show and talk about the Mars story. But the fact is that now I think it's come down to people like you and the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges and Hagman and Hagman, Tara McCarthy in England, Richie Allen in Australia. You guys are now the new gold standard. And of course, you're all being shadow banned and demonetized because Eric Schmidt is very busy trying to show China that he's created a censorship system so good, it would be great for China, for communist China. That's what we have in the United States today.
That's just crazy. So let's revisit Las Vegas. What do you think was the deal with the Patsy?
Okay. I think the Patsy was a loyal American, and I think that he may have dabbled in helping the FBI or the CIA, either flying stuff for the CIA or helping the FBI do stings. But somebody really seriously stupid decided to make him a patsy. The story doesn't wash at multiple levels. He was actually at the gambling tables until 15 minutes before the shooting. Okay. He didn't have the strength, training, or capacity to fire an M60 machine gun. There is no way in God's earth that those people were killed from 1,000 meters away. And they've also... they knocked out the wrong two windows, and then they had to cover it up and go knock out another two windows. I mean, I don't make this stuff up. This is like Keystone Cops meets Satan in Las Vegas. All of those weapons in his room, it's not widely known, but the Mandalay, among other casinos, has the absolute most advanced technology. They can tell how much pocket change you're carrying.
Yeah, see, it's BS.
What's that? I
always thought it was BS that 72 minutes could go by without nobody.
This is actually closer to 15 minutes. Okay, look, the whole narrative is hosed. All right, everything we're being told by the mainstream media is not true. Everything we're being told by the FBI is not true. The sheriff started to tell the truth, and the FBI immediately brought him under control. And you also have a Masonic overlay in here. There's a Masonic overlay in everyone who's a key player. There is probably an Opus Dei underlay. There's certainly a Zionist massive overlay on top of all of this. And so what you have is think of a three-dimensional box in which you have various secret societies with their stovepipes, and you have various networks operating in all these levels. And I would love to be helping the director of the FBI unscrew this and blow the bullshit flag on so much of this stuff. But apparently he doesn't want to. He's being told he can't. Now, the article that I hope you'll put in your description with the link that I published in the American Herald Tribune identifies five possible protagonists or antagonists who could have carried out this heinous crime against humanity. And by the way, Las Vegas, the reason we're not seeing the bodies and the blood and so on is because this is bad for business. And Las Vegas has really perfected the art of the cover-up. And when someone dies, literally there is a steam blaster on the blood within 15 minutes, and the whole scene is wiped clean as soon as it happens. They've really gotten good at this. So there's this massive shutdown on not allowing people to see this. Now, there's also a conflicting problem, which is if this were a normal situation, normal series of murders, then the US mainstream media would essentially be told, this didn't happen. You are not covering this. You will not send your anchors here to do all of this. The fact that the anchors are there talking to obvious crisis actors and clowns. I mean, I hold these people that the anchors have been interviewing in contempt. They're not serious people. They're not telling a serious story. And the anchors are saying, yeah, man, tell it like it is. Baloney. Okay? So these anchors have all lost their integrity. The fact that they're there says there's an official sanction on making this an official terrorist massacre that will then be used to take away our guns and install gun detectors. And if you follow the money, the three guys that win big, apart from MGM Management, which sold shares and is now ready to do the climb back, the three people who win big financially are Sheldon Adelson, Michael Chertoff, and George Soros. So from where I sit, that's the place where I would start. I would actually have those guys in a room under interrogation with a polygraph, and if necessary, I would insist on using truth serum. And I would also, of course, have every, I would, this is another dirty little secret of the US government. The National Security Agency does not provide direct tactical support to the FBI for counterintelligence or to the clandestine service for overseas operations. I had to buy one day of NSA coverage when I was chasing terrorists in the 1980s. It cost me a bottle of scotch. For one bottle of scotch, I got 15 hits on my terrorist targets in one day. And then I said to the guy, hey, this is great. I want this every day. He said, I'm sorry, the contras are the priority. I just did that for the bottle of scotch and I can't do it again. Okay? So NSA sucks at providing intelligence support, signals intelligence support to clandestine operations overseas, which are not serious anyway. CIA just takes crap from liaison and pretends it got it from unilateral operations, and they don't provide support to the FBI. If I were the president or a special assistant to the director of national intelligence, I would have the director of NSA in and I would say, let me tell you something. I want every cell phone call and I want every email from these three guys, Alderson, Soros, and Chertoff, and I want every cell phone call and every email pertaining to Las Vegas going back to the 4th of July. And you are going to have that shit processed and you are going to have it on my desk within the week.
It takes somebody strong, doesn't it? It takes
Take
somebody that's.
somebody strong with integrity, and that's the
Yes.
problem. Donald Trump is a strong man. Is Donald Trump his own man? We don't know that.
So, how many people do you think really died and got hurt in Las Vegas?
It's a good question. I don't know. If I had to say, as a wild ass guess, I would say 20, 20 to 25. Because even if you're shooting a lot, the reality is you don't hit. Now, there are hollow point bullets are said to have been used, and that would significantly increase the kill ratio. But and there's also the whole issue of the EMTs not being present. I mean, in the Iraq War, we perfected the art of keeping people alive who have lost all four limbs. Okay? We got the golden hour down to, I mean, I've got goosebumps thinking about it. The problem is we didn't get Walter Reed Hospital up to where it could handle people who had lost all four limbs. Okay? But the EMTs weren't there. It was like nobody expected casualties. This was a drill. And they were going to phase in the EMTs on the drill scenario. And then all of a sudden, you have real dead people and real shredded people. And at the same time, you have crisis actors who are on video saying, let's get out of here. And then the other one saying, no, wait, we can't leave yet. We're not supposed to leave yet. So you actually have a mix of real and fake, a mix of crisis actors playing dead and real dead people. And this is part of the early confusion in the YouTube stuff that was coming out. There was some YouTube stuff that was obviously fraudulent, this narrow trail. And then there was some really exciting stuff. This guy saying, no entry wound, no exit wound, cannot treat. That's a truth teller for a crisis actor gone wrong. Okay. What he's supposed to be saying is, all right, this and this and this, do this and this. But he's actually saying, there's no entry room, there's no exit room, this is false blood. All right. So for me, this is actually a case study in the pathologies of information across our society. I mean, I think in terms of eight information tribes: academic, civil society, including labor unions and religions. Nobody is properly interviewing all of the Latinos in Las Vegas. I guarantee you, if I could take in a Latino interrogation team and they were absolutely comfortable that they would be anonymous and blah, 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 I'm telling you, Latino eyes on Las Vegas, I have it all.
Okay? I would bet
Nobody's
you do, yes.
That. Nobody is doing that. And then you have commerce, small business. Everyone is telling the workers, the employees, all of whom heard multiple shooters and saw multiple shooters, there's only one shooter, Paddock. If you want to go to jail for the rest of your life, you talk about more than one shooter. What kind of country do we live in where someone, perhaps not the FBI, perhaps someone using FBI credentials, because it's gotten to the point now we don't know. I mean, if someone comes to my door tomorrow and says, I'm from the FBI, I'm going to ask them what their email address is and I'm going to double check it because I actually don't know. This is the problem we had in the Kennedy assassination. All of the hitmen had Secret Service credentials created by CIA's Office of Technical Services. And the Mossad is certainly at least as good at creating this. And they have American psionym that can do the G-man strut or the clandestine case officer swagger, whatever. You know, this is real. This is really confusing. Now, let me finish my eight tries because I want to make an important point. Then you have commerce, government, including local, and you have law enforcement, media, military, and non-government organizations, right? All eight of these information tribes have completely lost their integrity. They're all feeding at the two-party tyranny trough. The two-party tyranny is the enabler of the deep state. Mottabi wrote a brilliant book called Griftopia about the merger of political and financial crime. And I realized what was happening one day. I was in a room with CEOs from another 30 NGOs. Joseph McCormick, the transpartisan guy, was managing it. And I realized he was trying to tell them we need to get past the two-party tyranny. And I suddenly realized halfway through the meeting, all of these people understand the two-party tyranny. They understand that when their party is out of power, they'll get half as much, but the money will keep going. They're terrified of an evidence-based government that doesn't give them money.
Mm-hmm. It's because their survival is at stake.
Everybody has bought into this system. And they're willing to sacrifice their integrity in order to continue the paycheck.
And that's why we need strong people. Okay, so how are they getting away with the Patsy? My understanding is this guy was gentle. He was mentally stable. He had money. I mean,
he was a multimillionaire with two airplanes. Look, one of the things I've noticed is that there's been a merger between Hollywood and FEMA. Or Hollywood and DHS. And of course, you have the Zionists underlying DHS, the information technology Zionists, as well as the management Zionists. So they've got DHS bracketed. DHS is an arm of the Israeli government, as far as I'm concerned. Okay? So what you have here is ever since Sandy Hook, I mean, Sandy Hook was the worst false flag they've ever done. Okay?
And because why would Sandy you say Hook that?
Dr. Jim Fetzer, has done a wonderful book on Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook was an abandoned school with asbestos and other problems, no PTA, no awards, no newspaper articles.
How did they get away with that?
Wait, 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 Sarah, it's even better. When the EMTs show up, they won't let them in because there are no dead people there.
How does the public believe this stuff and how do they get away with it?
Because we have spent, ever since Carnegie and Rockefeller took over the school system and the public transportation system, the school system to create docile slaves and the public transportation system in order to kill it so that we would have to have suburban communities and so forth. I mean, the reason I got recommended for the Nobel Peace Prize is because I integrate holistic analytics, true cost economics, and open source everything engineering, which would allow you to lift the 5 billion poor at 10% of the cost of the Western paradigm. Every single thing we build in the West is 50% waste and 90% profit for the 1%. Okay? It's insane. So the reason the people are accepting this is because they have been trained for 50 years to eat bullshit and like it.
To not question.
Don't question authority.
It's just crazy. And then the people who do question are made into nut jobs. I mean,
ta-da!
But I don't
decide America. Is Robert Steele crazy, or is he the top Amazon reviewer for nonfiction, reading in 98 categories with 2,500 reviews? You know, I mean, it's insane.
Well, it's just like the 9/11, where Building 7 came down and it was across a two-lane highway, and I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Yes, it is, but because the mainstream media supports it, and because academia has been completely neutered, castrated.
People are afraid.
Most professors today are adjunct professors without tenure, and even professors with tenure are being fired for questioning the 9/11 narrative. This country has lost its integrity. That's why my new piece, which is being translated into other languages, it's called Healing the Self, Healing the World, the Open Source Way. It starts with information pathologies. What we have right now in the United States of America is 8 information tribes, all of whom are cancerous to the core.
Yeah, and we have to get past that. You know, I have another interview coming up where I interviewed somebody on China and how China's building up and how they're going to take over and their empire's falling. And China's doing a lot of, they're not spending all their money on their military. They're investing in their infrastructure and in areas of the world.
Are you interviewing Parag Khanna?
No, I have Terry Curtis, who I was recommending.
You need to talk to Parag Khanna. Parag Khanna is one of the greatest citizen journalists I've ever met.
Well, maybe you can set that up.
What?
Maybe you can help set that up. That would be great.
Absolutely. It's done.
Okay.
He's in Singapore. He will absolutely do an interview with you. He's a great man. And he's written a book called Connectography that essentially says that the Chinese have been jerking America's chain with their little military. And they've been spending all of their money on infrastructure, ports, high-speed rail, superhighways. They even provide headquarters buildings for the African Union with no extra charge for all of the electronic devices that are already embedded. Wait, did you hear that? That was a seriously cool spy joke. They provide free buildings and no extra charge for all of the electronic listening devices that they've got preset and have, okay? I mean, I love the Chinese. They're very clever. Okay, so bottom line here is the next century is China's century, and I would like to see Russia rise again. I think that there's a lot of common ground between the white Russians and the white Americans, and that's common ground that the Zionists don't want us to see. That's common ground that the 1% does not want us to see. And oh, by the way, when Vladimir Putin stopped the adoption of Russian children by Americans, it was because those children were being adopted, not all, but many, by American pedophiles. And oh, by the way, we have some morons across this country that are so depraved, they're actually having babies to sell them.
Oh, God.
They have a cash crop called children.
I would love for those pedophiles to be... I don't care what you do with them. Like they make me so angry, and that makes me so angry that.
Well, that's going to be the change. I think pedophilia, and this is why I think Trump and Sessions made a mistake when they made pedophilia their priority early on. They scared the living hell out of the deep state. What they should have done was made election reform and a Trump channel the priority, because then they would have created a base
the
bigger
power.
Than the two-party tyranny. And they would have created a Trump channel that would have kept communications open between the president, the people, and vice versa. They didn't do that. So that was a serious mistake on their part. Now, let me tell you, Sarah, I'm huge on truth and reconciliation. And the reason is we need to get all these people to give up their stories. And my version is everyone gets the truth. No one goes to jail.
Oh, but you know, well, here's my idea. I've been thinking about that a lot. And there's a line where a predator that is selling and is the supplier of children, they have to be out of our society. We can't have, now the people who are set up and are victimized and are part of that process, and maybe they've, you know,
oh, there's
woken
a place
up.
Where we can send them. The British did this. It's called Australia.
Well, I don't think That's Australia so will take them now. But you know what I'm saying. They're just not, they're not good anywhere.
You have to beat the truth and reconciliation drum, because that's, I'll tell you as a professional intelligence officer, that's the only way you're going to have the breakthrough. You also have to have President Trump give a presidential pardon to every member of Congress, contingent on their sitting down for a professional counterintelligence debriefing on who has been blackmailing them over what.
But
we
what
have
do-
to take out, wait, please, before we can deal with the pedophiles, we have to take out the blackmailers.
Yes, we do. We have to get rid of that. But don't you think we have to get rid of the blackmailers? We have to get rid of the, okay, maybe there's truth and conciliation, but they have to get out of the system. We can't let them continue.
You have to get out of the system, and NASA has a plan. There is a small moon on Saturn.
That's better than Australia. And I think the Australians agree.
Well, actually, the Australians are already on the other moon. The Indonesians are taking over Australia. No, you know, this is actually an exciting time. I would normally be very, very depressed about everything that I know. And I know vastly more than your average American, which is why you can have these media hit jobs and stupid people believe them. I know a lot. And what I really believe deep down is we're about to see a cosmic convergence of good and a cosmic convergence of truthers. The JFK truthers, the 9/11 truthers, the pedophilia truthers, the true cost economic truthers. There's just this massive bubbling of truth that is starting to break out.
Just
and
to
Las
clean
Vegas,
it up.
In its own small way, is an opportunity. And let me just say that I end my article in the American Herald Tribune by saying that whether or not this was officially sanctioned murder, I hope it wasn't. I think it was Zionist-sanctioned murder. But whoever did it, this is an opportunity for the president, his chief of staff, a Marine, the director of national intelligence, who is showing some interesting signs of being very capable, and the new director of the FBI to say, okay, we're going to treat Las Vegas as a public interest transparency investigation. We're going to start with a three-dimensional graphic of all of the bullet strikes and where all the bullets came from and where all the dead and wounded were, and we are going to tell the public the truth. If they do that, they will begin to reverse 50 years during which government legitimacy in the eyes of the public has been on a nosedive. Las Vegas could be a turning point.
We have a lot to clean up, and I agree with you. I think if they can come clean and start being truthful, then they can start turning around people's view of what we think of the government.
I am available to help the Director of National Intelligence create an open source agency, which will meet 95% of our needs for decision support with very inexpensive legal, ethical sources and methods. CIA has marginalized me for 40 years because their worst nightmare is me. The reality is, and Bill Binney and I have discussed this, once you have an open source agency, you can cut the secret side of the intelligence community by 70%.
Yeah, and
oh, by
and
the
our
way,
budget will be
70% is covering up a lot of evil stuff, including government trafficking in drugs, guns, gold, cash, and small children. The U.S. government, elements of the U.S. government, are officially transporting children.
Yeah, and that has to stop. It has to stop. Okay, well, we don't have much time, and I thank you so much for joining me today and getting your side of all the investigation and all the information that you're picking up through your vast amount of people who are collecting facts.
I actually like being an intelligence officer, and I really love being an intelligence officer with integrity. We need more of them.
Absolutely. So we'll leave it with that. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye, Sarah.